This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
What a comeback win for the Los Angeles Lakers. Problem is, it took a little bit too much effort. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh. I'm exceptionally excited for this Wednesday show with what we have on the docket. We've got NBA. To begin the show, we've got some NCAA tournament to get into. We've got an awful lot to get into when it comes to all of the propositions that sit in front of us with the start of the Major League Baseball season, including your opportunity to hop on as we make our cases for some over-under win totals and make official show selections later. We'll all present our cases, but we're picking it over and we're picking it under, Joseph, as a show, and we want everybody riding along.
Already a huge mess. The whole thing is already a huge mess. I pitched the idea this morning of adopt a team. The show works together to adopt a team where we bet an over or an under on their win total throughout the season. Immediately, not good enough for you. You need two teams. So we say, okay, we'll do two teams. We'll do an over and an under. And then 5 minutes before the show starts, we start kicking around ideas like, hey, where's everyone at? So that when we actually take this to air, it might not sound like a complete cluster. And you and Handman are opposed on one of the selections. Evan's trying to go under on a low team, which was one of the criteria we laid out. It's a complete disaster. Handman's trying to bet against my Phillies. We already said we're not doing that. We're not betting against each other's teams. That segment is a disaster. I can tell you right now, it's going to be a huge disaster. It's at 2 p.m. today.
And you have nothing more to look forward to than that.
I'm already like shaking. I'm shaking. I don't know if it's anger. I don't know if it's frustration. I'm like, how did something like this get just turned so bad so fast? And I have no confidence between now and then we're actually going to straighten this thing up. Well, I think we're going to be pitching so many different teams. We are going to get to the end of the conversation. We're going to have nothing resolved.
I have a lot of confidence that you are going to be very happy with me at the end of this show with the selections I put together, and whether or not they both get picked, I think I'm very confident that one of them will get picked.
We'll see about that.
Anyway.
Hold on. Wilner, what did you have to say?
I told you we could have waited till tomorrow. Maybe we need an extra day to plan all this out. Maybe we're rushing this thing a little bit.
I think we have all established that we are at our best when we don't plan a damn thing.
Yeah. Organization, not what this show likes to do.
No. No. Absolutely not. It's what makes Joe incredibly uncomfortable. Thus, it's what really puts us at our best. I think that's about as good as we can play it. So let's do it.
Now I got Wilner in my ear pitching me material. There's a chance you screw this whole thing up here in the next second and I lose my mind. But we'll see. We'll steam ahead.
I'm interested to see what happens.
Because we do have structure for this first conversation here, but I got a feeling it's a coin flip as to whether or not you hit what you're supposed to hit. He was in my ear. He goes, watch Carlin blow this.
It was a hell of a job by the Lakers to beat the Bucks last night. But I got to tell you, there is nothing about the Milwaukee Bucks right now that has me feeling good about where they are headed.
No, not the record, the 2 seed in the East, nothing like that?
Nope, nope, nope.
This is the big overreaction to the one loss?
No, it's not, Joe. I don't know if you know this. I follow the NBA pretty intently. Okay?
When I think NBA, I think Jerry West, Julius Erving, Chris Carlin.
As you should. And look, I've seen the Bucks all year because you remember at the beginning of the year, I was very much on the Bucks. I was a big fan of Milwaukee and their opportunity to do something special with Dame Lillard. But so many different things have really reared their ugly head. First, you had the mess at the coach situation with Adrian Griffin. And then they turn it over to Doc Rivers, who you know I have never been the biggest fan of, primarily because his playoff history is not one that you can have a lot of confidence in. And then they start to play a little bit better defensively, and you think, okay, maybe they will get this figured out. But Joe, I look at the last 10, 11 games, they're back to doing what they do defensively, and that's given up a lot of points. They're up around 117 points a game for the last 10, 11 games after they got going pretty well after the All-Star break. That has kind of fallen apart. And then at the same time, You listen to Tim Legler talk about the situation, and we understand that maybe, just maybe, things are a little bit worse than they were in the first part of the year.
They're much worse in pressure situations under Doc than they were before Doc.
Oh, my gosh.
And they fired Adrian Griffin. Think about that, at 30 and 13, but they were handling pressure situations well. They haven't done that with Doc. Now, they are better defensively, but that's always been like a wrap on Doc, right? You wonder. He's had moments in the playoffs, and you saw it again last night, not putting it all on Doc, but just collectively as a team, they did not operate the way they had to in a game against the Lakers without their best player.
They might be the second team in the East, but there's very little about them that gives me confidence.
All fair points, especially the defensive lapse over the last couple weeks, considering the NBA scoring has been way down. If anyone's been paying attention, like, there's been an incredible unders run in the betting market.
And there's been an outrage over whether or not they kind of changed the rules around the All-Star break.
Yeah, that's essentially what ended up happening. Officiating was much, much different. They weren't blowing the whistle as much. And as a result, you weren't getting to the stripe as much. You were able to get away with more, tougher shots, all that stuff. So scoring had dropped precipitously, but that hasn't necessarily held true for Milwaukee's defense. You highlight a lot of good points. You could say, yeah, second seed in the Eastern Conference, but who are they ahead of? A Cleveland team that seems to be stumbling down the stretch, battling injuries. The Knicks can't be healthy. The Magic look good at 42-29. They look really good. Go inside the record the last few weeks. It's fantastic, but they're beating up on nobodies. It's like every other night they're playing Brooklyn or Detroit or Charlotte or Memphis. They did have a nice win against New Orleans in there. They lost to the Kings over the weekend. Then there's the Pacers, who don't play any defense. Heat can't get situated. Embiid's hurt for the Sixers. So you'd say, yeah, you're second in the East, but the only team you're trailing is the only good team. You could also flip this and say something like, all right, you're 11-5 since the break, and we can lay out all these problems you have. Defensive issues, you fired a head coach, you're not clutch late in games, and yet you're still 46-26. Like, imagine if they cleaned some of this up, how dangerous they could be. So I am not of the belief that we should write this team off at all. I'm not of the belief that they can't contend. I'm a big believer in Damian Lillard. I've always been a huge fan of Lillard. I can't wait to see him in the playoffs. You and I, a little bit at odds on this one, but it's made for a good conversation throughout the course of the year.
I love Dame, and I love what he's capable of offensively. I think he's just been a massive defensive liability. And then you flip sides over to the Lakers last night. And I heard Tim say this morning on Get Up, and I frankly was a little bit floored.
This is a huge statement game for the Lakers, particularly at this time of the year. To go in there without LeBron on the road, start out the game, the Bucks have a big lead in the first quarter. Easily, the Lakers could have said, you know what, not our night, we don't have our best player, and mail it in and lose by 25-30. The fact that they showed that kind of fight to get back in the game, and then more importantly, the plays they made down the stretch on both ends of the floor. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, now here we go, good to go. Lakers going to go on a roll and make it to the conference finals. We're not there yet. But this absolutely carries more weight. And Darvin Ham said top three. I don't know if you're going to find two better wins than that all year long for the Lakers.
No doubt it was a terrific win.
That was an awesome win.
In concept of itself. Does it actually mean more than just having a great win that I'm not buying?
They're putting fight up, right? Like, you got to get into the fact that they put the fight up there. The thing is, it takes too much for them. For them to have a win like this, where you'd say, hey, they beat the Bucks without LeBron James. It's like, yeah, well, Anthony Davis had to play 52 minutes last night. Like, look at what they need to do to get something organized. They need to lay it all out there every single night so they can be a play-in team. Like, the margins are too thin for the Lakers. The stars need to play too many minutes at too high a level for too long. And then once they're in the play-in, they have to survive. Then once they get to the playoffs, should they get to the playoffs, you got to win 4 out of 7 four times in a row. Have you seen what that path could look like in the Western Conference? I'm not buying it. It's a good win, but they're not doing anything this year from a championship perspective.
52 minutes, 34 points, 23 rebounds, 4 blocks for AD last night to beat the Bucks in double overtime. How tenable is that? And granted, no LeBron, I understand that. But when you sit two games behind Phoenix now for 8th place in the West, I'm not going to have a lot of faith. And when it comes to their age, you know, listen, they're middle of the pack as a team, but their two best players are 39 and 31. That's a problem. I just, there is, I've said this weeks ago, and I continue to believe it. There is little to no reason to have any belief whatsoever that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be any kind of a factor come the postseason. They are not going to do what they did last year. And if they are in the play-in, I think it's going to be an early exit, even if somehow they make it to the eight seed, because my guess is they're going to have to win two games to get there.
If they survive the play-in and they draw Denver in the opening round, how many games are they winning in that series?
Zero.
Yeah, that's that. Zero. For anyone who's driving around, might not be paying attention, zero is a little bit different than four, which is what they would need to survive that series for the right to go to the conference semifinals.
Yes.
Great win. It's just, it requires too much, and it's going to require too much over too long a period of time for them to make a deep run. There's too many other teams out there that are going to give them fits, and that's assuming they stay healthy.
That's a big assumption. Carlin versus Joe.
Hey, you nailed it, by the way. You didn't blow it like Evan thought you would. Congratulations. Well, I'm proud of you.
What a shock that Evan, I have little faith in what I'm doing over here. Granted, there's plenty of evidence to support that.
Right.
But sometimes you just need a little blind faith behind you, and I know that that doesn't exist. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. Bottom of the hour, 20 minutes from now, Donovan Klingon from UConn. The center is going to join us. The Huskies are absolutely rolling, and I don't know that you could have a nicer road to the Final Four than they have got right now as they try to defend their championship. On the way, did one future Hall of Fame quarterback make a giant mistake just 2 weeks ago, and it's not even his fault? It's next, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Get it while it's hot, because with baseball starting tomorrow, Joe Fornball's annual nemesis, Major League Baseball. I'm staring it right in the eyes, Carlin.
Oh,
I'm terrified. I bet it every year. I lose every year. So we're going to focus on some hoops today. Last time out was Friday. We were 4-1, up 2.9 units. Overall, we're getting close. We're getting close to digging out of this hole we've dug ourselves. So we keep our head down and we focus. We move forward. Player prop, Pacers, Bulls. Tonight, Tyrese Halliburton of the Pacers, over 11.5 assists. It is minus 115. Why? That's what you all want to know. He's averaging 11.2 assists per game on the season. Total for this matchup against the Bulls is 234.5. It's priced to be high scoring, which is good when it comes to assists. serious playoff implications for this game as well when you look at the standings. And point spread's like 2.5, so it should be competitive, meaning the big-time stars have an opportunity to play big-time minutes. Three games against Chicago this year, Halliburton's had 13 assists, 20 assists, and 14 assists. Bulls ranked bottom 5 in defensive efficiency since the trade deadline. Pizza money number 1, and we got 4 coming today. Tyrese Halliburton, over 11.5 assists.
The Bears have traded quarterback Justin Fields to the Steelers.
I guess this is what doing right by Justin Fields looks like.
Fields, I'm told, is not expected to start this season. There is no quarterback competition.
That's what he's going to be in Pittsburgh for now.
I'll tell you, it's very interesting. And I know we've been talking about this for a few days, but there's an angle that has not really been considered. And it's how is Russell Wilson feeling at the moment? Carlin vs. Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Joe, I was thinking about this morning. Simple question for you to begin. If Justin Fields was in Pittsburgh instead of Kenny Pickett prior to Russell Wilson signing, and the Steelers still wanted to sign Russell Wilson, would he have gone there?
You're saying this as in the Bears and Steelers would have already had a transaction, not the Steelers would have drafted Fields years ago.
Correct.
Okay. I don't believe so. No. That's an excellent question.
Neither do I. Russell Wilson signed in Pittsburgh with the intent of beating Kenny Pickett for the starting job. That's exactly what he did. And within 48 hours, that plan was kind of out the window. But Pittsburgh did the right thing by coming out, Mike Tomlin saying he's in pole position, you know, all the experience, all those things, to make sure that Russ going in was not going to feel like he was double-crossed. But it doesn't necessarily feel that while he is in pole position, that the race has already been won for Russell Wilson. And you listen to Dan Orlovsky, if this turns into an actual competition, it's not going to be much of a competition.
If Justin Fields is giving a legitimate opportunity to be the starting quarterback, this decision isn't close. It'll be Justin Fields. Wow. One, because of now talent, and two, because of future talent. Russell Wilson is pole position. I don't see Russell doing a lot to give the job away. Right. Russell's going to be fine. He's going to play good enough football. He's not going to give it away. If it's really a fair opportunity or a true window to compete, I don't think it's close between Justin Fields now and the future in comparison to Russell Wilson.
Joe, I'll ask you, if you think that this is to be a real competition once we get to training camp, how do you believe it plays out?
I think the smart move would be for Russ to start the season off as the starting quarterback. I think you want to play a little bit of politics here, not just have some contest between two guys and say, all right, this is the guy, we're moving forward. If Fields has the most upside and Fields is the guy you view could be a long-term answer and Russ is just a Band-Aid, then set Fields up for success. Let Russ go out there and start the season. One of two things is going to happen. One, he plays well and wins games, at which point everyone's happy because your quarterback's playing well and you're winning games, so there's nothing wrong with that. Or Russ plays poorly, you might be winning thanks to the defense, or you might be losing. And then when you turn it over to Fields, he's had a few weeks to get his feet wet in terms of learning the offense, learning the system. The fans are excited about him. The locker room's excited about him. Russ doesn't have a leg to stand on from a complaint standpoint. He got his chance. He blew it. You turn it over to Fields. It all makes sense. It lays itself out logically. It's hard for anyone to point any fingers. But if you come into the season and you say, well, you know, it's close, we're going Fields, and Fields goes out and struggles, what happens next? Do you go to Russell Wilson, or do you just let Fields ride it out? Because that has all the potential for a mess. So I think you are going to play a little bit of politics here. You're going to play a little marketing, a little PR, set yourself up so you're in a position to make a good decision rather than possibly say, all right, Fields looked better in a bunch of these meaningless preseason practices and games. We're going to start him because if he struggles early and you go to Russ, does that mean Fields isn't your guy long term?
Yeah, I don't know that it does. I still think that they, when you look at it, have a little bit more invested in Fields. And by the way, still have a decision to make on Fields when it comes to that fifth-year option.
Do you think that that's even up for debate, or you think they're going to go ahead and exercise that option? They have until May 2nd, I believe.
Let me ask you this. You exercised the fifth-year option. How does that make Russ feel?
He probably understands that that's business. I see what you're... I think there are a lot of things that
number.
Could
It's a $25 million number, you know?
Yeah, it big by certain standards. I think ultimately picking up the fifth-year option of a quarterback like that, that's not going to rub Russ the wrong way. If he's rubbed the wrong way, that's already occurred.
Yeah. Okay,
that's already occurred with the transaction of bringing him in. I find that interesting. You feel that we're dealing with a possible bait and switch here.
Well, I think the Steelers will do their best to avoid that perception. I think when they signed Russ, they had no idea that the Fields thing was going to come together because they had no idea that Kenny Pickett was then going to turn around, act like a baby, and ask out. And that's exactly what happened. So I think that they bringing in Russ to compete with Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields fell in their laps and they couldn't be happier about that. Now, I'll give you two things. Number one, if you're Russ and it is a competition and you lose out, handling yourself is what everybody's going to be looking at. Because I think it's exactly what Dan said. Russ is not going to play poorly in the preseason. That's not what's going to happen here. He's not going to be Peyton Manning in 2015. He's going to be a manageable, serviceable quarterback. And if they decided to go with Fields, the thing, if you're Russ, you have to look at, A, handle it the right way, B, realize that Fields hasn't necessarily been able to stay healthy. But if you're the Steelers, there's an easy decision to be made here. You know, they did something yesterday, very under the radar. They signed Kyle Allen, the quarterback. You think, oh, what does that mean? Maybe it's just another guy to have in there in training camp. Kyle Allen is a guy that we all know is definitively a backup quarterback, period. He is now in place should we get to the end of training camp and they feel like they want to do right by Russ if there are going to be opportunities out there because this whole situation came the way that it did and maybe they cut him loose prior to the start of the season so that he can go somewhere and get a real chance. I'll give you an example. New England doesn't fall in love with a quarterback in the draft. They don't take one. Maybe he ends up in New England with Jacoby Brissett and Russ there, you know, gets a chance to go play and start there. Outside of injuries, that is what I think could really happen here. I think Pittsburgh has really set themselves up beautifully here. Frankly, some of it is serendipity, a happy accident, so to speak. But at the same time, this is about as good as they could ask for it to come together.
Couple things on all that. Number one, incredible drive-by on Peyton Manning. For everything he's done in his career, both in college, pro, and in the broadcasting world since, you somehow wedge him into a 2015 preseason conversation where he's just catching shrapnel because of how he played at the end of his career. Just
9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions.
Incredible job by you to grab that one sliver of his career and get it in and make sure he pays nationally for that. And number two, you want to talk about under-the-radar signings. I love the Cordero Patterson signing.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. With the new kick return rules, you got to get kick returners in the building because you're probably going to use two guys there. So I thought that was a fantastic move by Pittsburgh.
They did not waste any time. They were not sleeping on that one. And they didn't even want the rule, apparently. But when they saw it was going to pass, all right, we're on board.
Figure it out.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80 up next. A young man who's already got a national championship to his credit and is chasing a second joins us in moments. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. It's right after I tell you about this from our friends at Indeed. And I need to remind you that it's the perfect time to gear up and to connect with quality candidates. There's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Next to hassle, start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The cat sat on the mat. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, he only had 14, 14, and 8 blocks against Northwestern, ripping the heart out of Mike Greenberg. It's tremendous. We all appreciate that right here. We certainly do. Donovan Klingon, he's the center for the UConn Huskies. And, of course, the Huskies have got San Diego State next in the Sweet 16. Donovan, it's Chris Carlin along with Joe Fortenbaugh. We appreciate the time. And, first of all, this is one
of
the great.
Thank you for having me.
No, listen, man, we appreciate it. And I have to tell you, one of the great nicknames I have ever seen is Kling Kong. That's amazing. Who gave that to you?
It kind of just ran in the family. My uncle was, he used to always call his dad as a little kid because I used to always be bigger than everyone. And then, as I moved on, he just kept it going. And then last year, we had a home game at Gamble, and there was like this sign competition, and there was this one student who just made this big sign of me standing over the Empire State Building and just called it Kling Kong.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Having grown up and played in Bristol, Sweet 16, just a couple hours away in Boston, what's it going to be like in terms of ticket requests for you? I'd have to imagine between friends, family, everybody, you're getting blown up left and right.
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking for tickets. It's been difficult with how many people and how many UConn fans will be here and what's available. I got a long list, but I don't know how many I'll be able to take care of. But I'm looking forward to, all the UConn fans in the building tomorrow.
Donovan Klingon is with us, UConn center. Now, listen, we see Dan Hurley on the sideline in the media. I'm a Jersey guy. I've seen Dan Hurley for a long, long time. What is it like to play for him that maybe we don't see away from, let's call it what it is, sometimes a little craziness?
Yeah, he always wants his best for you. He always is pushing you to the max, pushing you to, make you the best version of yourself and trying to get everything out of you all on the floor. It's hard not to, want to do great for him. He pushes us in practice to another level. There's no team in the country that really practices the way we do, the intensity we do. And he's just, he may not show that, he cares about us. He's always yelling at us and stuff, but deep down inside, he loves us. He wants us to succeed at a high level. And, he always wants his best for us. He's the best coach in the country, along with the best staff in the country. And, I couldn't be happier with where I'm at.
What is the craziest thing that he has done to motivate you guys?
Motivate us? Oof, that's a tough one. During practice, we practice at Gamble a lot. And, we mess up. We have to run up and down the stairs. And, he just keeps us hungry. He always wants more. He always makes us want more in the way of, staying hungry and not being complacent with where we're at and what we've won and, just keep wanting to achieve more.
Last year as a freshman, you guys go out, you win the national championship. This year you have a hell of a chance of trying to repeat. Thing is, last year you were a little bit more the hunter. This year you definitely find yourself as the hunted. So what have been the big differences between last year's run and this year's current run?
We have a bigger target on our back this year. Coming off of winning the national championship last year and having the season we've been having, a lot of people were trying to knock us down, but, we're really just staying strong as a group, staying strong as a team, and, just realizing the next step. You only go one game at a time. You can't get too far ahead of yourself and look at, the goal down the road. You just have to go one game at a time, focus on the next opponent and, what you have to do to dominate.
Donovan Klingon, UConn center, joining us, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Listen, you grew up in the area. You saw greatness in Connecticut basketball. What did it mean for you to go, be able to go there and kind of bring it back to a program that became storied under Jim Calhoun?
Yeah, it means everything. Like you said, growing up in Connecticut, watching Connecticut my whole life, and you know, just to be able to put that jersey on every single day and represent such a large brand that, you know, that has a lot of history and, you know, really just trying to be a part of that history. You know, UConn, like you said, is Jim Calhoun started a, you know, a legendary program, a historic program that, you know, we're really just trying to, you know, keep going and keep rolling and, you know, just keep building it. You know, it means everything to me to, you know, play for the state I grew up in. And, you know, like I said, just putting that jersey on every day and representing Connecticut at a high level and, you know, really just trying to win championships.
You know, when you're growing up, whether it's UConn or some other college team, whether it's college or the pros, who were the players you really liked? Who did you want to model your game after?
I mean, I watched a lot of Emeka. You know, just I like Joel Embiid, Jokic. You know, there's a bunch of guys, but, you know, really at UConn, the legends, you know, Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier, Ray Allen, you know, like all those guys just really are, you know, idols to me, to this team. And, you know, those are the people that really started this program and really got this thing going.
Had the foot injury earlier in the season. How did that kind of help you along to get ready for the second half of the season and this kind of run?
Yeah, I mean, it really made me realize that, you know, not take anything for granted. You never know what could happen. And, you know, just really locking into the rehab, locking into the recovery of, you know, just getting as healthy as possible. And when I came back, you know, I realized I had to lose some weight and, you know, making sure I'm doing everything right to make sure my body's healthy. And, you know, I learned a lot throughout that period. And, you know, I really felt better than I've ever felt, you know, since I came back from that injury.
You know, it's a national championship game rematch for you guys. You faced San Diego State in the big one last year. You've got them coming up here in the Sweet 16. How much can you take away from what happened last year? Or do you guys just try to completely disregard that?
You know, you just try to realize how physical of a team it is, how, you know, how hard they play, how well coached they're coached. You know, that team plays very hard. They attack the glass. You know, the big man's, you know, great big and, you know, who could score at all three levels. You know, but, you know, they got some new guys, so you got to really just scout and, you know, realize, you know, who your matchup is, where you're guarding, what the good and bad things to do. And, you know, we got to realize that they're going to come out playing at an elite level with elite intensity because, you know, what, you know, how they went out last year and, you know, what's at stake. You know, it's Sweet 16. Everyone out here is trying to compete for a national championship. So, you know, we got to realize that we got to play our A game every day.
All right, two last ones for you here, Donovan, for me. Number one, Luke Murray's an assistant on this staff. His father is Bill Murray. And you guys are younger, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering, like, do you have an appreciation for who Bill Murray is as a legendary comedic actor, and how much is he around?
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend. You know, I watched a couple of movies growing up with him in it, and, you know, just to realize how close he is to this program and, you know, how much support he gives us, it means a lot. You know, he's been around throughout the tournaments. He's at a bunch of games this year, and, you know, we see him all the time. He's just, you know, he's the biggest supporter. He always wants us, you know, he wants his best for us, and, you know, he's a real, real good dude.
Last one. Joe just moved up to Connecticut. I am in Bristol probably about once a month, working for ESPN, obviously. And listen, we know about Frank Pepe's. We understand about Sally's in New Haven. But I need pizza in Bristol, and there's about 15 different places, and I got to be honest, so far, not at that level. Where am I going the next time I get there?
Chunky Tomato over on Farmington Ave. That's the spot.
Chunky Tomato. What makes it good?
Yep. It's just the cheese, the sauce ratio is perfect, you know, the crust, everything. It's just great pizza.
Chunky Tomato, Farmington Ave. Got it. Got it. Awesome. Hey, Donovan, we appreciate it, man. Good luck this week.
And we appreciate you.
And good luck chasing another championship.
Thanks, Donovan.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Donovan Klingon, UConn center. I have kind of run into that. Like, I don't want to drive all the way to Waterbury for Frank Pepe's. I mean, that's a hike, Joe. What am I going to do? Big man needs to be satisfied. It has to happen quick.
Well, you found the right region. You found the right region. From what I understand, great pizza everywhere.
This is true. I'm trying to help you, too, with that question, by the way. You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Why there's one move that could completely impact what quarterback-needy teams do over the next few months. That's after Joe has this from our friends at Vivid Seats.
Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The window has closed for the Dak contract extension mattering for this year.
Why did they wait till after the league year began, till all the free agents were off the market? So the window's closed. Over. They can do a deal at any point they want, sure, but I don't know why they would have waited unless they aren't committed to keeping him.
So if Jerry Jones don't want to give him his money, well, guess what? Dak's going to walk, and he's going to have no shortage of suitors. Meanwhile, what are you going to do if you're the Dallas Cowboys?
It's all fascinating, and you listen to the reports that are out there. It's pretty clear that there's not going to be an extension before this offseason is over for Dak Prescott, which would make him a free agent next year. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. There is always plenty to talk about when it comes to the Cowboys aspect of it, but the Dak aspect of it is perhaps even more intriguing. Take a listen to our guy Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, as if you didn't know, regarding Dak's contract situation with the Cowboys yesterday. This was on the Pat McAfee show.
Going into the last year of his deal, he's got a $55 million cap number. If he leaves after this year, the dead cap money charge is $95 million that they're going to have to spread out.
Jeez!
Yeah, which would be a new NFL record.
So when you're going into the last year of your contract, he now becomes the 2024-25 version of Kirk Cousins. There'll be no shortage of suitors for Dak Prescott as a true unrestricted free agent on the open market.
You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And with the draft coming up, I do wonder how many teams would actually look at this and say, maybe we don't need to draft somebody if Dak's going to be a free agent next offseason.
I don't think it's plan A for anybody, because that is, you need too many things to break your way, and a plan A can never work like that. Mm-hmm. But it can be a really solid plan B for teams that might be outside striking distance on the quarterback market in this year's draft. Decide, you know what, we're going to take the best player available, we're going to build up the roster, and then next year we're going to look to grab a quarterback. And oh, it doesn't necessarily need to be the draft. We could throw our hat in the ring for Dak Prescott, should he be available. First team that comes to mind, Las Vegas Raiders. Currently sitting where? 13th in the draft. They got Minnesota at 11 that needs a quarterback. They got Denver at 12 right in front of them that needs a quarterback. You got teams at the top of the draft that are going to be taking quarterbacks. Mike Tannenbaum was on with us yesterday. We asked about the Raiders. They'd love a quarterback, but they brought in Gardner Minshew, and they realized that if they can't figure out a trade to go up and get a guy they want, they might just build the interior of their offensive line, their defensive line, build in the trenches, get that bully where you can physically dominate people up front ready on both sides of the ball. Remember, they went out and signed Christian Wilkins this offseason to play on their defensive line alongside Max Crosby, and then go out next year with plenty of money because you're not spending at the quarterback position, that's for damn sure. And you bring in a guy like Dak Prescott who, let's face it, he's used to no state income tax in Texas, no state income tax in Nevada. That could be a very good plan B for the Raiders should they not land a rookie quarterback this draft class.
You know where else there isn't state income tax?
Where's that?
Florida. You know what? There's a team in Florida that has to make a decision on their quarterback. And to me, there's really no decision to be made. That's the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. Miami would be an ideal spot for Dak Prescott next season. I mean, listen, maybe we're all not fair to Tua, but I think we're not fair. I think we're very fair considering what Tua has had to work with over the last few years and what has happened with the Dolphins. There is purely and clearly a hesitance on their part to pay him, and I understand that. I look at some other places where there are decisions to be made on quarterbacks. I'm going to throw another one at you. Another place, by the way, with no state income tax. Washington. Washington State. As in the Seahawks and Geno Smith after this season. Yeah, they traded for Sam Howell, but are you going to tell me that that wouldn't be a place that would be intriguing if they can continue to build up their defense? Point being is, the teams that are looking at drafting a quarterback, no. They're not the ones that should be thinking about Dak Prescott. The teams that have a decision to make on their current quarterback, they're the ones who should be eyeing Dak Prescott as the big option next year.
Take me through how it works in Miami, because they don't have a lot of money right now and they're not paying a quarterback. If you're going to bring in Dak Prescott, that's going to cost you north of $50 million a year. How are you going to afford that with the Tyreek Hill contract as well as the Jaylen Waddle contract, which is coming up? Because I believe he's going into year four or five. They got to figure him out too. That's a lot of money for a quarterback and two wide receivers.
Yeah, listen, they're going to have to pay him too. As of right now, looking at 2025, the Dolphins have $35 million in cap room, and they have some issues to work through when it comes to some of their players and trying to restructure or move them on, things like that.
Well, how many guys do they have under contract with that money, though? That's the key. That number sounds good until, see, I'm looking at this right now.
Well, Tyreek Hill's cap number next year is $31 million, and if you did anything with him in terms of cutting him or trading him before June 1st, you're not saving money.
Well, right? you're not signing Dak Prescott and getting rid of Tyreek Hill. Well,
exactly. But Tua, for instance, you could certainly move on from him. You could cut him, and you wouldn't have cap savings, but you wouldn't be losing a ton of extra cap room. You'd have a dead number around $23 million. Point is, you can maneuver this to work with a couple of restructures. That's the way it looks for them. You're right, Jaylen Waddle has to get paid. But if I'm signing Jaylen Waddle and I'm signing Tyreek Hill or keeping Tyreek Hill and I have a chance at Dak Prescott, I have to figure out how that's going to work. It's just a possibility. It's just a possibility for next year.
Jerry's hubris is what could get him really jammed up here, because he truly is, this is my opinion, he's of the opinion that they can let Dak ride this year out. And if it goes really well, they'll just offer him big money at the end and he'll re-sign, because being a Dallas Cowboy is the most important thing in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe at some point he says, you know what? Being a Cowboy is great, but I don't necessarily want to play with Mike McCarthy. I'd like to go somewhere else. I'd like to go to a better situation where the owner isn't as involved, where the team's a little bit more organized. It could come back to bite Jerry big time. He could end up having a big season this year. They could win, and then it could be sayonara. This is unprecedented. You don't see quarterbacks in situations like this very often. Joe Flacco comes to mind the year he won the Super Bowl.
There's the hubris for Jerry of, we found Dak in the fourth round. We can find somebody else. And that's why your large compadre over here has been very much of the opinion that you need to pay attention to the second and third rounds for the Cowboys and the possibility of drafting a quarterback. It is not off the table.